As the world gets set to renew commitments to limiting global warming to 2 degrees at the UN climate talks in Paris, the push is on here once again to close highly polluting brown coal-fired power stations in Australia. The pressure comes as the South Australian Premier, Jay Weatherill, yesterday announced an ambitious 100% renewable energy target for that state by 2050. In Australia, while emissions from the power sector are increasing, the federal government says overall Australia will meet its 2020 target to cut carbon pollution by 5%. In fact, already has, according to the minister. Here's today's report from our environment editor, Greg Borschmann, in our continuing series in the run-up to the UN climate talks in Paris.
It sounds like a riddle from Alice in Wonderland. When is a cut in greenhouse gas pollution actually a rise in greenhouse gas pollution?
Critics have claimed time and time again that we would never achieve our 2020 target of reducing our emissions by 5% from 2000 levels. Today, I can formally advise that the critics are wrong.
Environment Minister Greg Hunt, announcing yesterday that Australia will meet its target to cut greenhouse gas pollution by 5% by 2020. But earlier this week, carbon analyst firm Reputex calculated that Australian emissions will actually rise by 4% by 2020.
Australia's in the unique position where it can increase its emissions but still meet its 2020 target. A lot of that is due to an accounting benefit where it's got a carryover credit of around about 130 million tonnes, which is a fair bit to get us across the line. The catch is that our real emissions won't reach a minus 5% target by 2020. That's largely driven by increased emissions from the electricity sector, the LNG production sector, and also coal mining.
That's Hugh Grossman, Executive Director of Reputex. In terms of the growth in real emissions, Grossman says the electricity sector is leading the charge.
In the last 12 months, we've probably seen emissions grow around about 2% just in the electricity sector. So certainly as those new facilities come online in the coal mining sectors or the LNG facilities, you know, we'll see demand pick up for electricity.
With rising emissions, renewed commitments to keep global warming under 2 degrees at the Paris climate talks will focus attention on the future of coal in Australia's energy mix.
Unless we deal with the elephant in the room, which is our ageing, inefficient coal-fired generation fleet, then we're not going to get on a trajectory which allows us a smooth transition to the global emerging clean energy economy.
That's Erwin Jackson from the Climate Institute. Highly profitable but highly polluting, the four brown coal generators in Victoria's Latrobe Valley are well and truly under the spotlight.
These are very large plants. Most of them are very old. The oldest one, Hazelwood, was built between 1964 and 1971. And the best measure of the emissions is really the emissions intensity, the amount of CO2 per kilowatt hour of electricity generated. And that ranges from 1.2 to 1.5. And that 1.5 is really the highest in the world. That's for Hazelwood, Yallourn not far behind that.
That's Frank Yotso from the Crawford School of Public Policy at the ANU. Since the abolition of the carbon tax, production and pollution from brown coal-fired electricity has been on the rise.
Last year, brown coal-fired power plants accounted for 38% of emissions from the power sector. That could be replaced, but without a carbon price, it's unlikely that those brown coal-fired power stations would go anytime soon.
The former Gillard Labor government abandoned a plan to buy out dirty brown coal generators, unable to justify the cost. Now, Environment Minister Greg Hunt says he wants the market to sort out the problem. But Frank Yotso says without a plan from government, other less polluting black coal plants will close first.
Without any intervention, it'll be one of the cleaner black coal-fired power stations that will go, simply because their fuel costs are higher. And the really old clunkers with the really high emissions coefficients will just keep going full blast.
To fix the problem, Frank Yotso is proposing an auction where the dirtiest generators bid for closure. Costing upwards of hundreds of millions of dollars, the scheme would be paid for by the remaining generators, who would get the benefit of greater market share and prices. But the power industry doesn't like the idea. Matthew Warren is Chief Executive of the Energy Supply Association of Australia.
Let's set a constraint on emissions and let the market work it out as the best way to deliver the transformation. Some of that brown coal is going to be needed to maintain the grid and the stability in Victoria until we can find other technologies. There are other power stations around Australia which might be further up the order in becoming redundant as we decarbonise.
South Australia currently generates around 40% of its power from renewables, and that's rising fast. Yesterday, South Australian Premier Jay Weatherill announced a state target of 100% renewable power by 2050. But Matthew Warren says the electricity sector is already edgy about what's happening in South Australia.
If we start having serious reliability problems, consumers will lose confidence really quickly in the grid, and that will start crippling the ability to keep going with these technologies. So it's essential that we work this out as fast as we can so that it doesn't become a sort of political barrier to deeper penetration of low emissions and zero emissions technologies.
That transformation of the Australian energy sector has to happen within the next two decades, according to Erwin Jackson from the Climate Institute.
If we are going to meet a 2-degree limit, you would need to essentially close most of the coal-fired generation fleet by around 2035 and replace that with zero-emissions technologies. That's perfectly feasible, but it will only happen if we actually get a very clear signal.
That's Erwin Jackson, Deputy CEO of the Climate Institute, and in that report by our environment editor Greg Borschmann,